Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Hey, thanks for joining us. We come your way every Monday, 1 a.m., Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we also archive these programs. The podcasts are at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we are now on SoundCloud. I finally figured it out. And so my programs are up on SoundCloud. If you just go to SoundCloud and type in Richard Dugan. I typed in Tell Me Your Story, but apparently there are a bunch of other people using that name or acronyms thereof. So type in Richard Dugan at SoundCloud. And right now we have the 2018 edition of Tell Me Your Story up on the SoundCloud, as well as all of our interviews at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. So we encourage you to go there. We also link to our guests' websites, and we will be giving you a website shortly so that you can get more information. We want you to research and investigate so that you can improve your life and basically just move forward. And what we're all trying to do in one form or another is evolve. And I will tell you that there's been quite an evolutionary process been going on where I live in the area of the country, of the world. With last year, 2017, we faced a fire or two in the summer. My wife and I, for the first time in 13 years, were evacuated from our home. And fortunately, we were only out for 10 days, and no harm, no foul in that regard. And thank God, no loss of life. I think there were some structures, but nothing horrendous. But then come December 4th, the Thomas Fire broke out. And I thought, well, boy, that's way over in Santa Paula, 40, 50 miles away. No problem. They'll take care of that. Ah, yeah, the winds, I know. They kicked up. Well, somebody told me on that Monday the 5th, it was coming to Santa Barbara for an engagement, and it did, and it burned a great deal of land. It was the largest wildfire in California history, and we thought, well, that's not so bad. Okay, we'll clean up, dust off the ashes, and move forward. And then, of course, January rolled around, and the rains came, and we had a major rainstorm that rolled through, horrific. And a mudslide that rolled down from Montecito down all the way to the ocean. And we are still recovering from that as a community, and probably will be for years to come. People aren't feeling all that great, although they are grateful that they are alive. And that's part of what we're going to talk about, not necessarily and specifically the mudslides of Montecito here on the Central Coast, but about how you feel. We're going to be talking with a lady, a woman who is sharing this whole aspect. It feels good to feel good. Learn to eliminate toxins, reverse inflammation, and feel great again. And I realize that there is a huge health benefit in big ways. And my guest is the author, and her name is Cheryl Myers. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. I'm really thrilled to be here.
I know that a lot of folks, are looking on with awe and disbelief and amazement. First of all, that and sadness, too, the loss of life. We did have some here on the Central Coast. We lost two lives in the fire, and then upwards of 23 individuals lost their lives in the mudslide. And there was, in some cases, I think there was almost an entire family that was lost, and it's very saddening. It's hard to feel good in times like these, and yet we can't just plop down, shall we say, in the mud and say I'm done. I can't do anymore. I can't move. We literally. And this is what's showing the, and there's a word that's escaping my mind right now, but it's showing what we're really made of as individuals as well as a community. So when we're faced with these kinds of things, and of course, then we had the southern coast of the United States facing all of those hurricanes, one after another in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico. And I mean, they're still recovering too. We haven't forgotten about them. This whole aspect of feeling good, what What was it that made you think that it was even possible during times like these or others for that matter? How do you do that?
Well, the book is written because 6 years ago, I got sick and I hurt. And so I went on a trek to feel better. And so that's why I said it feels good to feel good, because after 6 years, I have turned that around by eliminating all the toxins that I could find in my life. There is kind of a chapter in the book that would deal with what you guys have all been dealing with. And it's my chapter on stress, because stress actually creates something called leaky gut, which is where inflammation begins. And so learning how to control your stress, no matter what your circumstances are, is a really healthy thing to do. And although there's, I think, 36 suggestions in the chapter about what to do about stress, there's one key exercise that I love, which is by Dr. Andrew Weil, who is the first integrative doctor. And you can actually look him up on the web and watch him doing the exercise. But it's called a 4-7-8 breathing exercise. It takes 2 minutes to do two rounds of it twice a day, and it actually lowers your parasympathetic nervous system so that your pulse slows down and that the all of the negatives of stress stop impacting your body horrifically. And so for what you guys have been through, it's a great exercise to learn, because I'm sure you all had terrific stress while you were going through that and the mudslides and now the cleanup.
I have to say that it's one aspect of life that you don't want to get used to, because if you're getting used to it, it means it's happening to you a lot. And granted, I've lived here for 13 years, been through 11 fires and now a mudslide, and certainly in the mudslide, not personally, but nonetheless, I'm in the community. And if our physical health isn't good, this is what you're saying, it's going to be very difficult for us to withstand some of these things. I know of people who, you know, you think you're in good health and then this big stressor comes along and the next thing you know, you're grabbing your chest, you know, because you're having a heart attack because, you know, the system, it can't handle it. It's an overload. Just like a computer can be overloaded with too much information, too much data, or too much processing. That's probably more accurate, that you're asking the computer to do so much, and all of a sudden it just locks up. And that's what the human body does, doesn't it? If it's not well-tuned, shall we say, well-maintained.
Right. Well, when I wrote the book, I wrote it for other people with autoimmune disease, and there's 58 million of us out there, because I wanted to share all the things that I found that I had no idea about when I got sick. But the reality is inflammation is one of the core causes of a lot of our diseases, whether it's heart disease or cancer or strokes or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or diabetes, both type 1 and type 2. Even depression now is associated with inflammation. So controlling your inflammation is critical, which means you got to take note of all the toxins that we're dealing with in our life, whether they're in our environment or what we're putting into our body or what's in our head. And there's lots of toxins that go on our head, believe it or not. Not only stress. I mean, ants, which are anxious negative thoughts, which is anxiety. That's a major stressor for inflammation. Toxic relationships, toxic lack of sleep. There's a new book out that he thinks that sleep is even more important than stress in terms of the ill effects on the body. You absolutely have to get 7 hours of sleep, because that last hour is when the brain does its full sweep, which is what gets your brain all fine-tuned so that you don't have brain fog, so you don't have chronic fatigue. That all happens in your last hour of sleep. So it's really critical to get 7 straight hours of sleep. And then I even talk about toxic lack of movement, because all of those are stressors on the body that create inflammation. But the big thrust of the book is the toxins that are in our life. And I was really shocked when I started studying this, because they're everywhere. I had no idea. I knew sort of remotely what the whole organic GMO thing was about, but not really. And so there's a whole chapter on what that's actually all about. But then I also go into all the other toxins, first in our food and then in other products. They're in our canned goods. They're in our factory farmed meats. They're in our soy. They're in our oils. What was used to be the good oils are now the bad oils. And what were the bad oils when I was growing up are now the good oils. And guess what? We need fat because our brain needs fat to run optimally. So all of this is part of it. And water? Oh, my God. I thought Flint, Michigan was an unusual situation with all the lead in their water. A lot of cities in America have toxins in their water, even worse than Flint. And did you know you could actually call your water department and get a full listing of what's in your water? But there's a lot of toxic metals in your water. There's a lot of terrible stuff in your water. So putting a filter on your kitchen sink and drinking that water, cooking with that water, and someday I hope to have a full house system that gets the toxins out because it's also hitting my skin when I'm in the shower or in the bathtub. Water is really toxic unless you clean it because the condition that it comes to you in is not healthy. And plastic water is the worst. As much as there's toxins in your water at home, plastic water is even less regulated than your home water. And you get the added bonus of all those toxins coming out of your plastic that are leaching into the water. So you're paying 1,200 times more for a plastic bottle of water, and it's poisoning you even more than other sources of water. So I put in the filter. I bought stainless steel bottles that I take with me everywhere. I don't drink from plastic anymore. I don't cook in plastic anymore. And I don't store my food in plastic anymore because all of that leaches stuff into your food that you don't need.
You know, I there's no survey that I've done on this, but just my own observations are that the various companies that have come about over the last couple of centuries that are in existence today that are providing us with, whether it's the water in bottles, whether it's pharmaceuticals, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you name it.
Which are another toxin.
Which are another.
Especially the over-counter ones.
Exactly. The thing that perplexes me is, and we found out that many of these companies have known for decades that their product is not good for the public, but that the bottom line was what was important. What perplexes me is not how inhumane that is, how cruel that is to people who are consuming this stuff unknowingly that they're poisoning themselves, but how counter to the free enterprise and capitalist system it is that you are going to basically kill off your consumer line for the bottom line. Now,
and they are, and I know,
and then they might say, well, yeah, but see, we'll take that and we'll agree with you. But see, people are making more people. So we're always going to have consumers. So it doesn't matter if we kill them off. And I just I don't know. I can't wrap my brain around that kind of, whether it's conscious or otherwise, it's just unbelievable.
When I first started, one of the things that causes leaky gut, which causes autoimmune disease, was toxins. And so I wanted to start with what could I do myself to make me have less pain. When I started researching all the toxins, I got really angry. And one of my things that I got angry about is, why the heck is the government not protecting us? But then I realized they're not going to protect us, but we can protect ourselves. It starts with education. And then we need to vote with our dollars, which is why I'm doing podcasts now that I've written the book. I'm 69. I'm doing this instead of retiring because I really want to get this information out to the public. Because if we vote with our dollars, then they will change. And the Institute for Responsible Technology believes it will take as little as a 5% shift. And big companies will all stop putting all of these chemicals into everything that they're selling to us because they won't be making money. So I have a little phrase in the back of the book. I want you to join me and become an army of one with me, which means you get educated, you stop buying all these things with toxins. And I actually tell you what I found with that were toxic and what I replaced them with. item by item, chapter by chapter, category by category. And if you don't like my choice, which is fine, I explain to you how to research to find a product that's better for you. The important thing is that illness is all about toxic load. So the more you eliminate toxins for yourself, for your family, it all gets run off into our water. That's part of why our water is so polluted. And it's going down our rivers and it's going into our oceans. And all of this is causing destruction. So it's really important that we communicate, that we educate, and that we start voting with our dollars. So please come be an army of one with me. It's really important because it's our future that's online here. For the first time, our children are not supposed to live as long as we are. Our children have horrific diseases starting earlier and earlier. The numbers are staggering. So as a mom, you need to pay attention to what I'm sharing in the book. And if you just want to feel good and stay feeling good, you need to pay attention. I've been doing a lot of talking in venues here in my local area. I'm in the Los Angeles area. And I find that people who are my age are really resistant to change because they don't want to be deprived. Well, trust me, if you get sick, you don't want the pain. But what I do find is that millennials, little ears perk up when they're in my vicinity and I'm talking about the book, because they don't want to go where their parents and their grandparents are. They see the pain and they don't want to go there. So they do want to get educated. So my thing is, start to clean up now before you get sick and tired of being sick and tired like I was. I was oblivious to all of this. I have my own business. I was working 24/7. I was constantly being chased by the tiger of stress, and I thought that was a good thing. It all hit me like a 2x4 one day, and literally, I couldn't get out of bed without pain. And my doctor didn't know what it was. I went 3 times. She offered me steroids. I'd been on them as a child. I was not going back there. So I decided I was going to own my own health, start doing my own research. That led me to 20 symposiums that were run by what was called the functional medical community, which is a whole new paradigm in medicine, which is really amazing. And so that's where I started to figure out, it looked like I might have autoimmune disease. What do I do about it? The first thing I decided to do was clean up the toxins and lower my stress. And then I started looking for a functional doctor who could help me get well. And literally, she saved my life. So let me tell you quickly what a functional doctor is, because I've had people say to me, oh, that's a quack. No, it's not. My doctor graduated from Yale with her MD, so she's anything but a quack. But most functional doctors got sick themselves and couldn't help themselves with what they learned in medical school, so they went for additional training in functional medicine. The difference between conventional medicine and functional medicine, and I'm not saying we don't need conventional medicine because there's lots of times we do, but the difference is a conventional doctor generally will listen to the first symptom that you tell them and then boop, out pops the pill and you're on your way. The pill doesn't cure you. It might mask what the problem is, but the problem is still there. And sometimes that pill causes its own problems. There's a whole book called Drug Muggers on the market by a pharmacist who became a functional practitioner that tells you whatever pharmaceutical you're taking, what it's taking away that you need to correct. So that's conventional medicine. A functional doctor might also give you a pharmaceutical, but they have a whole other bag of tricks because they practice root cause medicine, which means that when they hear you, for one thing, my conventional doctor never gave me more than 6 minutes. My functional doctor listens to me for 45. Right there, I was sold because she listened to what my problems were and wanted to correct them. And then there's a whole bag of tricks that she uses to go down and find the root cause, which is easier said than done. I feel like an onion. We keep peeling layers off of me, and under each layer, we're finding something else that's crazy with my body. But after doing this now, I found her 4 years ago. I am 80% cured, not cured. I have 80% less pain. I will always have autoimmune disease. I still get flares if I accidentally eat something that's on my sensitivity list, which I want to talk about. I had allergies from the time that I was born. But I didn't know there was a difference between allergies and sensitivities. So as I started getting weird rashes and weird things going on with my body, my conventional doctor was running allergy tests. And the only thing I was allergic to, quote unquote, was the tape that held the test on my back. nothing was popping up. Well, I get to the functional doctor, and one of the first things she did was test for sensitivities. Bingo. I have 18 of them. And if I avoid them, a lot of my pain goes away and some of my inflammation goes away. So that puffiness in my joints and the aches in my joints and the pain in my hips when I get up in the morning and the terrible headaches I was getting, all of that started to fade away just because I had 18 foods that I was going to stay away from. And those sensitivities are different for each one of us. And those sensitivities are also a beginning of leaky gut. And leaky gut is when things start to, the wall of your intestine is only one cell thick. So if you're not properly digesting your food, and there's a variety of things that cause that to happen, all of the stuff being sprayed on our food, all the herbicides and pesticides do this, toxic metal will create holes. Once you get so that you're not digesting your food properly, the food particle is too big. So it starts pushing against the wall. And instead of going through in a sizable piece that can go right into your blood and can help fuel your body, they start ripping the side of the intestine and going through in bigger particles. So your immune system has no idea what that big particle is, and it screams, attack! And unfortunately, not only is it attacking that too large particle that's entered, but those particles mimic body tissues in different parts of your body. In my case, it was my muscles and my joints. In a lot of people's case, it's their thyroid. There's all kinds of autoimmune thyroid diseases. In some cases, it's the adrenal system. In some cases, it's the liver. But all of these cause great dysfunction in the body where the body is literally attacking itself. So a functional doctor does a different test than a conventional doctor does. But let me give you kind of a gist of other things that my functional doctor has found in me. I took the 23andMe test because I was curious about my family history and ancestry. What I didn't know when I took the test was it comes with all your genetic information. So when I mentioned to the doctor that I'd taken the test, she said, wow, fantastic, bring me the test. I couldn't read all this data. So she took a look at the data and she found two things which were critical to my health. The first one is that I have the MTHFR anomaly to my DNA that I've inherited from both of my parents. What does that mean? That means that when the toxins go into my body, I have a really hard time detoxing to get them out. And that makes sense to me because my joke has always been I popped out allergic to Pittsburgh because that's where I was born. And literally, I had terrible allergies from the moment I was born. And I remember them oiling the street to keep the coal dust and the steel dust down in the town that we lived in. My dad fortunately made the decision when I was four to get me the heck out of there because he wasn't sure that I was going to grow up if he left me there. But all of those toxins that went into my body as a young child were still there. We moved to California, so for a while I didn't have new things aggravating my body. Starting in my teenage years, I started getting the rashes and the pains and the reaction to things like baby aspirin, which were god-awful. Little bits of toxic load started to build up because the original toxins were still in my body and we were putting new toxins in. And then the toxic load grew from there. Suddenly, I was allergic to any kind or sensitive to any kind of antiperspirant. First, some made me rash. Other ones made me itch. Some made me pain. So it took me a long time to find one that I could use that worked. And then a couple years passed, and the next thing that happened, my mascara was making my eyes crazy. I didn't recognize this was all toxic load building up. So I went on. Even the hypoallergenic mascaras were bothering my eyes. But I finally found a mascara that was okay. And then I was a store manager at the local department store here in Los Angeles, and I could not go into the cosmetic department because I couldn't breathe because of all the fragrances. Well, those are all synthetic, and they're all very harmful. So that was the next place that my toxic load was showing up. And then I woke up one morning, and my mouth and my tongue and my eyes were all swollen. And through some deduction, I figured it out that that was from fabric softener. So the toxic load kept building in my body until, chabang, I couldn't get out of bed one morning because I hurt so bad. and nobody knew what it was. And the problem with autoimmune is most conventional doctors don't recognize it, and they don't even take the right look and at the right test to be able to figure it out. My conventional doctor tested my thyroid, but she only tested from the pituitary down to my thyroid. A functional doctor then takes and looks at the test of your thyroid to your adrenals. And it ended up, I didn't have the right balance of T3s and T4s, which meant that my thyroid was not working properly. So that was a problem. I was gaining weight, and it was because my thyroid wasn't working properly. So a functional doctor takes all kinds of tests that a conventional doesn't do, and then they know what to do with it and what to recommend with it. So, okay, so we found out I have MTHFR. Then we found I have a SNP that makes me very sensitive to histamines, which means that things like kombucha, which is touted as being very healthy, is the opposite for me. It causes me to have a reaction. So those two SNPs were invaluable. Then we started looking deeper. Since I had told her my joke about being born in Pittsburgh, we tested for heavy toxic metals. Bingo! I was loaded with them. So I will tell you, it wasn't very fun to do the detox. We had to first detox my liver several times to try to get it ready to accept the toxins we were going to pull out of my fat and my bones from the metals. But we did it. I still had problems. So next step was we tested me for mold. Oh my God, I was loaded with them. I had really high levels of toxic mold. I have no idea where I got it from, except that at some point I lived in the Pacific Northwest. We tested my house. They're not there. So I don't know where all those molds came from, but last fall I did a mold detox. Again, it wasn't very fun. I am just waiting now to get the results to see if we got them. But in the meantime, we tested me for herbicides and pesticides. And let's not be surprised, I am loaded with those too. Mm. One of the things I have gotten over the years is called essential tremor. And conventional medicine told me it doesn't hurt the body. It's just going to be something you have to put up with. It was what Katharine Hepburn had, where she shook. I don't have it anywhere near as bad as her, but my hands do shake, so it's sometimes very hard to sign my name. Well, one of the herbicides, I think it is, that's in my body is being sprayed on our food, and I'll be darned, it's related to Agent Orange, and it's known to cause essential tremor. So once we see where I'm at with my toxic metals and my mold, next step is going to be to try to get rid of all of these herbicides and pesticides. I know where they come from. They're being sprayed all over our food. So one of the things I talk about is why it is so frigging important to eat organic. I know it costs more, but you get to decide, do you want to pay now or do you want to pay later? Because if anybody can convince me it's a good idea to eat herbicides and pesticides, I'll listen, but my body is living proof that it's not. And GMOs are even worse. I didn't understand what the whole thing about genetically modified was. Well, there's two big genetically modified foods that are in our vegetable market. The first one, they're actually breeding something called BT toxin into the food, which means that when an insect eats the food, when it's growing, it blows up his stomach. Okay, what does that mean? It means that when that food gets into your stomach, all your good bugs have little tummies that are blowing up too. Your body can't handle that stuff. The second kind of genetically modified is where they are making it Roundup ready, which means that they can really heavily spray it while it's growing so that you're spraying it with something called glyphosate, which is god-awful for us. It's taking all the minerals out of our earth. It's not allowing us to absorb the minerals in our body. It's stopping us from making all the enzymes that we need, which is why it's one of the connections to cancer. And the World Health Organization has declared it a possible carcinogen. And the state of California just sued them that it's probably a carcinogen and won. But they're still spraying it all over our food. So, you know, this is where I got really angry. Why is the government not protecting us? Well, they don't have to. I'm going to protect me. I'm not going near this stuff. And unfortunately, even most of our conventional produce is being heavily sprayed with herbicides and pesticides, and they don't wash off. They get right into the plant. There's a group that you need to become familiar with called EWG,
the Environmental Working Group, and they have a database with hundreds of thousands of items, and they rate how toxic it is from 1 to 10, so that you can actually go in there. You can either put the name of your product in there, whether it's cosmetic or a pharmaceutical or a pot or a pan or your water or your food. You put it in there, and they'll tell you what it's doing to you. They're the ones who have come up with what's called the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 list. And the Dirty Dozen list changes every year, and it has 18 foods on it. And they're the items that if you don't want to think that it's important to buy organic, at least if it's on this list, you avoid it. Because it's got so many toxins on it, it's really going to do your body harm. So the Dirty Dozen list is a great place to start.
Yeah. You have,
and then there's a Clean 15. You can eat on that list whether it's organic or not.
Right. You have shared an enormous amount in just the last 20 minutes, and it's very important. Although I will say, and I know people feel this way because I do, I hear what you're saying, Cheryl. But okay, I can afford organic, but I really try to be an optimist. I've been that way for the most part, most of my life. I've always given people the benefit of the doubt, even if I get abused by them somewhere down the road, say in business, you know, they, you know, pull a fast one. Heck, I almost quit a job to go to work for an individual back in Phoenix. And thank God I swung by the building that he was supposed to occupy, and he was gone. And I had my letter of resignation in my briefcase ready to give to my boss that afternoon, and I didn't do it. But, you know, it's like my biggest problem when organics first came out, and my wife and I kind of went around in circles with this, and I have to tell you that we do buy predominantly organic foods from the store. But there's a cynical part of me that says, you know, they can slap any kind of label on anything and call it whatever they want. And they've been doing it, for decades, in the 20th century
if
especially.
It's certified organic.
No.
One reason organic food is more expensive.
Right.
If it's certified organic, mm-hmm. You can't imagine the hoops that they have to go through to get that label.
I understand
if
that.
If it's certified organic, it's organic. Not everything in our farmer markets is.
Right.
But then you talk to the farmer.
But my point isn't so much focusing specifically on organic, because I understand I've actually read about the certification process, and it is it's almost to the point
really
where
rigorous.
See, I don't know if I wanted to, I'm going to make sure that it's all natural. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I don't use herbicides and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to use certain plants as pest control that are natural, that are in the environment already, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not going to call it organic because I'm not willing to go through that arduous process, which is a great process.
And those
don't get
are a
me
lot
wrong.
Of the farmers at the farmer's market,
sure.
Which is why I say
absolutely.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
And if you're close to the farm, visit it, because you'll learn what they're doing instead.
Right. But you know
are doing some kind of pest control. They're just not using these horrific chemicals.
Right. But there are those who, and maybe I'm in that set along with you and others, who are, you know, we do tend to resist change. And at the same time, you know, we're trying to find answers. I mean, you talked about inflammation. I'm going to shift gears here because that's the big issue. And when I start thinking about inflammation, I think, okay, let me put some kind of a practical perspective on inflammation. Let me see if I can, you know, because I was really trying to understand, well, why is inflammation such a big deal? I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
It is a natural thing that our bodies have that also does some good. It's when it goes into overdrive that it's a problem.
But what happens here is, for example, when I was going through the process of losing weight, and even when my boss, he lost 90 pounds on a particular diet, and he at the time had high blood pressure. He was, I can't remember what level, maybe it was that first level of diabetes that he was either on the borderline of or in. And he was going to go through the process of resetting up his insurance, his life insurance. However, they weren't going to do it at the current rate because of his weight, because of those conditions. And so he went on this one program where he lost 90 pounds over the course of over many months, you know. And I got to thinking about that. It's like, well, now, wait a minute. People, they see the outside and they see the weight come off. But the weight comes off on the inside too. So when I started thinking about inflammation, I thought, well, now if you get something that expands, that isn't supposed to, that expands beyond what it's supposed to normally be. And I think of, I use the analogy of glaucoma because I had glaucoma in my left eye. And unfortunately, I lost the rest of the sight that I had in that eye I'm going to say 8 or 9 years ago. Wasn't a big deal from the standpoint that it wasn't a strong eye in the first place. I didn't use it in that sense because there wasn't much vision in it from the very beginning as a child. But what happens with glaucoma is as the pressure builds, that pressure crushes the optic nerve, which of course reduces and eventually eliminates your sight. Well, if you have that kind of compression and pressure going on throughout the body, you're compressing and putting pressure on nerves and veins and arteries and other vital systems of the body that cause all of these symptoms, shall we say. So if you reduce the pressure, you released the pressure, then you don't have those symptoms anymore. They will tend to go away. Is that a fair analogy of...
Yes and no. Even skinny people get inflammation. So there probably is a connection if you're heavier to whether you're lighter. But inflammation is happening in your body one way or another.
Sure.
And I don't think it's necessary. It's certainly losing weight is helpful, but it's not the solution to your inflammation and what your inflammation's doing.
And I'm not saying that it is the solution, but what was interesting was that he no longer had high blood pressure once he lost the 90 pounds because he wasn't carrying around an adolescent anymore, an extra adolescent.
For sure.
And then the diabetes, it also went away. Now, I reached 200 pounds at one point. I'm only 5'9". I used to think I was 5'11 until I was accurately measured. Now, either I lost 2 inches since I was 5'11.
We do shrink. I'm an inch shorter than I used to be now that I'm 69.
Believe it or not, I visited my father about a year ago, June of 2017, and I always thought, wait a minute, he used to be my height or taller than me. And this was even when I was an adult in my 20s or 30s, and now he's shorter. He doesn't stoop over necessarily, but I was just kind of, it was just kind of strange.
We do shrink. I don't know how that happens, but we do.
Maybe we're going, they're shrinking us with a shrink ray or something. But what I find interesting about all of this is that my wife and I, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that the fact that we are considered to be the most affluent, most progressive country in the world, and our current president has already been diagnosed by his own doctor as being on the borderline of obesity. And I sit here thinking, what is wrong with this picture? And you went through a litany of things in the last 30 minutes or so, which I'm grateful for, that give us an indication of why we are where we are.
Well, let me give you a couple statistics. We're 37th in the world in health, but we spend more money than any other nation. I think inflammation is what is wrong with our healthcare system. Mm-hmm. It's why we're so sick. I was fortunate enough to have a fabulous vacation last year in Europe. We went to England and to France.
Oh, wow.
Both of them have much greater transparency in their food. I was giving out books while I was over there. And they were shocked that we don't know when there's genetically modified foods in our food. That's clearly labeled on all their food. And they are not spraying the glyphosate on their fields the way that we are, and their meat. I do eat meat. I eat grass-fed, grass-finished meat. Their meat is all like that. So you're not getting all the chemicals, and as a result, they have a healthcare system that works better. Ours is overtaxed because we're all sick as a dog.
Now, they did
all tell me to stay away from Spain because Spain is heavily spraying their produce.
Oh.
So we didn't go to Spain. So that was an interesting thing to learn. But yeah, they're aware of the problems, but they're approaching it with a little bit more regulation to what they're putting on their food and how they're labeling their food so that their people are informed when they buy a product.
But the other interesting thing about Europe, and I find this fascinating, and again, an observation about America, the observation is that America, through its history, basically says, we don't care what you found out, you over there across the water. We'll find our own answers. We don't care if it works for you. We're so independent, you know, that we're going to fumble through and find our own way. How is it that Europe made the decision, in general Europe, made the decision they're not going to allow GMOs in any of their countries? And yet the United States, in its arrogance, says, oh, no, we'll find our own way. And in the process, we're going to basically maim and kill our own citizens through this process.
I hate to say this, but it's money, honey.
Oh, I know. No, no, no. You and I understand that. But it's like I like to approach things from a logical perspective. I like to go step by step through things and say, okay, well, all right, we did this and we're going to do this and this and this and this. But wait a minute, that the end result, the end game is that doesn't make any sense. You're killing off your consumer base. You're injuring your consumer. This is the thing that bothers me, for example, about the auto industry. When a recall comes out, they say, yes, we're and here we are in 2018, and they're going to recall all cars this make and model from this manufacturer from 2017 back to 2003. I'm going, what? What do you mean to 2003? You mean you're just now catching the problem in 2018 and you've got 14 years worth of cars that are out on the road that have been injuring and killing people, and you're just now realizing you have a problem? Where were you in
2000?
And again, it goes back to what you've already said, and this goes into the food chain, the food supply, and again goes down that laundry list. Whether it's cosmetics, whether it's the laundry soap.
Can I talk about a couple of those? Cosmetics were not regulated at all until 1930, when they were putting rat poison in mascara.
What?
Somebody died. So that was the first law that was put on the books
for
cosmetics.
Are you serious?
Nothing else changed until last year. And a very minor law got passed that asked the companies to regulate themselves. And I was shocked. I was spending a fortune on cosmetics, and they were literally poisoning me when I looked up the ingredients. They were 9s and 10s on the EWG scale because they're monitoring themselves. So you have to take ownership for your life.
Wow.
You have to research what you're doing.
Wow.
As crazy as that is. And let's go back to food for a second. The Food and Drug Administration, the people who have been leading the Food and Drug Administration often were high-end executives from Monsanto that came over to the Food and Drug Administration. And then when they were done, they went back to Monsanto in higher positions. And then a new Monsanto person would come in to the Food and Drug Administration, or the one that regulates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's corrupt. I hate to tell you that. And that's why I got angry. And then I thought, wait a minute. I don't care what they do, because if I can communicate to everyone and get them to own their own life and look up the products that they're using, or take my advice and try the ones that I'm suggesting, which are all very low on the EWG scale, then we can change things ourselves without counting on our politicians to do it for us.
I couldn't agree with you more. Fascinating, and we're going to continue our conversation here. This is something that is extremely important to discuss, and I realize that it can be upsetting at one level, But the upset can be even worse if you don't. And it is our responsibility. I remember working back in the 80s, early 90s for a Christian radio station, and you were either 100% responsible for who and what you were, or you weren't. You're not a little pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. That was always the analogy that was made.
I was Presbyterian, so we both had free will, and we had things that were already set in terms of how we were going to live. And what the reason we couldn't understand it was above the line. It was a paradigm.
It was indeed. And I always found it fascinating that in spite of the fact that through every aspect of human existence in our lives, we have the choice to eat whatever we want, drink whatever we want, associate with whoever we want, millions of people, we can choose from thousands of different career possibilities, even making them up, etc. I mean, I went down the laundry list of all of the aspects of human existence where you had myriad of number of choices. But when it came to spirituality, there was only one. I'm going, this is the part of the logic aspect that I use. And I got to that point and I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. I have all of these choices in all of these other parts of my life except this one. This is the only one that I have to choose your way or I am doomed. Well,
I'm with you on the whole thing.
It's fascinating. We're going to come right back and talk more because there's so much more to discuss. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Cheryl Meyer. She is the author of It Feels Good to Feel Good. Learn to eliminate toxins, reverse inflammation, and feel great again. And believe it or not, as frustrating as it might seem on a mental level to discuss these things and feel like there's no hope, there is. And I'm feeling pretty good as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for staying with us, us being myself. And Cheryl Meyer, who is the author of It Feels Good to Feel Good. Again, learn to eliminate toxins, reverse inflammation, and feel great once again. That, to me, that would be a great political slogan. Feel great again. There are those who will claim that there is no real problem, that life is good, and that we have an abundance of food and water and all of these different things. And yet we have all of these people who are seeking medical help and assistance for all of these different problems. My wife sees it time and time again. There was a good female friend of mine when I was working in a warehouse back in the mid-90s. I think she was in her 60s at the time, and she was taking 9 different medications. And I said, look, I am no doctor, okay, but you need to see somebody about this because that doesn't make any sense. I mean, maybe you took one for the initial issue, which whatever it was. So finally, she went to another physician who eventually got her off of all 9 of them because you took the one, but then you had symptoms from number 1.
Right.
So you took
2. They all do damage as they're doing help.
Symptoms from number 2, you took 3 and so forth, and the snowball begins. And the same thing.
And really the goal, everybody seems to want a magic pill.
Yeah.
My goal was to get off my pills. Yeah. I'm on diabetic medication. I want off that pill.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that when my body starts running like a fine-tuned machine, I can get rid of that medication.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm taking high blood pressure med now. And I remember, going to the doctor, to my physician and I said, you're going to take all these fluids from my body and you're going to test them, right? He said, oh, yeah. I says, you're not going to find the problem there.
Yeah, that's the
response. I said, the problem is not in my body in general. It's in my head. Basically saying I need therapy. I moved to Santa Barbara. And again, people feel that Santa Barbara is a paradise. Well, it can be when there are no fires or mudslides or other things going on like that. I've lived here for 13 years. I don't recall having high blood pressure before I moved here in 2006. And then we started having the fires. And then, of course, I'm driving in California traffic. I never drove in California traffic before. And I started having problems dealing with people doing stupid things. And I had to figure out a way.
We are unique drivers here.
Yeah. And I had to realize, and somebody said this to me, and I was very grateful for them saying it. They said, what you have to understand, Richard, is, let's just say Joey Zuzu did not get up this morning and call all of his friends and say, today, let's get Richard. Okay, let's pick on him on the roads. It doesn't happen. So you have to understand that it is not personal. And that's part of what is really sad about it. It isn't personal because they're totally unaware sometimes of what they're doing. So you've got to let that go.
That's also a reason that I love my breathing exercise by Dr. Weil.
Yes.
I drive an hour to my functional doctor. I'm in LA.
Yeah.
So I had horrific traffic and that. Obviously, I'm worried that it's going to raise my blood pressure, and I don't want to raise my blood pressure before I get to her office.
Yeah, and your doctor's just across the street.
Yeah. So what I do is I do this breathing exercise, and I don't just do two rounds. I do it for the time that I'm stuck in traffic when I'm worried that I'm going to be late.
There you go.
And I did that one day, and when I walked in, she took me right away, and she came running out of her office and said, what are you doing? Because my pulse was lower than any patient she'd had in a long time.
Wow.
It really did reset my parasympathetic nervous system. So, wow, I'm a believer because it works.
What chapter is that in?
And it's easy to do.
What chapter is that in?
It's in my stress chapter.
There you go.
And you can look it up on the web. You can look up Dr. Andrew Weil, and it's called the 4-7-8 breathing exercise.
4-7-8 breathing.
And it's a count. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow you do it. You breathe in for 4, you hold it for 7, and then you blow it out through your mouth with your tongue up against your teeth for a count of 8. And you do that twice, and you do it twice a day. And it does all kinds of good to your nervous system. So if
like
you're
it.
In traffic and it's the day that everybody's after Richard, you just laugh and you're sitting there breathing and it doesn't matter.
I like that. I really do. And I think that, of course, again, we go back to this other aspect. Now, years ago, I was working with a woman. I never met her personally, but I worked with her over the phone. She would send me the materials. And back then we were doing reel-to-reel and cassette recordings, and I would produce up her materials, and she threw out a term I had never heard before at that time, and was called homeostasis. And I was fascinated by that, and she told me about her sensitivities, where she couldn't walk into certain office buildings because there were so many men and women who were wearing so many different kinds of cologne.
Yeah.
That she might break out in a rash. She might have problems breathing. This kind of thing went on and on to where sometimes she couldn't leave her home or her yard for fear of running into these kinds of sensitivities without having to wear maybe a hazmat suit to protect herself from those toxins that are out there. And I walk around Santa Barbara. I just walked across the street to the little market. And I wasn't even out the front door of the office, and it was half a block to the intersection. On the other side of the street, on the sidewalk, two gentlemen were sitting up against a building smoking, and I was already getting the smoke half a block away.
Right.
And I often want to say to these people, okay, now if there were a fire or you were sitting in front of a campfire outside, and you know how sometimes you'll sit and then the smoke will follow you?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Would you sit there and just take that smoke in? Well, of course not. I'd move somewhere else around the circle of the fire. Why? Because you're sucking in even something that's even more toxic than the smoke that's coming from that fire. Now, of course, we all know that this whole business with cigarettes, that's a whole nother subject in that respect, because that was set up to basically get people addicted on nicotine. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen the commercials. I don't know how much television you watch, but there are these commercials. It's a black text on white background and a woman speaking about how the government, due to some lawsuit, has said that we have to, you know, these companies have to announce that the whole purpose for cigarettes is to, as a nicotine delivery system, and they choose the paper and the ammonia and the this and the that and the other to get people addicted.
That's what vaping is too. The nicotine is still in those.
Yeah, yeah.
They are also very dangerous.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, but they're still manufacturing cigarettes. They're admitting that it is an addictive substance system, but that they're still making them. They're still allowed to make them to get people addicted to them, so that they can continue to make money. And I'm just sitting here going, okay.
Well, and I'll share with you, I was a smoker. I quit 5 times and always went back to it. And talking about how strong the mind is, I finally decided that I wasn't going to just quit. I was going to decide that I was a smoker who chose not to smoke. And when I got to that mindset, I never went back to smoking. And it's a darn good thing, because some of the things that are in my body, you know, you think that when you're smoking, you're doing harm to your lungs. I had amazing amounts of cadmium in my body from the smoking. It does all kinds of things all over your body, far beyond the danger that it's doing to your lungs. And obviously, it's also impacting everyone around you. So, yeah, it's not a good thing. And people are choosing to do it.
And then, of course, I mean, and we could continue down this path, you know, then you have alcohol. And people are trying to find different methods. You know, I can't believe. I mean, I've found for myself, I'm not a big wine drinker, in spite of the fact that I live here in Santa Barbara, and you know, wine is like, you know, I don't know, 2 bottles a day per capita or something like that. I don't care for red wine. It's too sour. I have a horrible, I call it horrible, sweet tooth. Just awful. Sodas.
Got to work on you on getting rid of the sugar, because that's really toxic too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, even if it's cane sugar, it's still sugar. But what I found so fascinating is these people who will take and drink diet sodas thinking that they're doing themselves a service.
Those chemicals are as toxic as the sugar is.
Well, back in 1983, when aspartame, known back then as Equal, came out, I had a guest on a program that I was doing back then, and I asked her point blank, If NutraSweet has been thoroughly tested and is perfectly safe. Well, of course, she's going to say yes. Now, she had brought in a box of products, cereals and drink mixes and on and on and on, you know, for me to take home and to try. And my wife at the time and I, not knowing any better, consumed these things. Now, my wife got really nauseous over eating this stuff. And I went through terrible mood swings, and we stopped eating this stuff because it was the only thing that we'd added to our diet. So it was pretty easy to know to take that out of our diet. I wanted to go back and try one more test. So I started to consume these things again, and I went through the same thing. So I stopped. About 5 years later, I interviewed a mortician from a funeral home, and I asked him, in our conversation, just chatting, and I hadn't really thought about it at that time. So what's changed in your industry? And you've been doing it for 30, 40 years, you know? What's changed? He says, well, I will tell you. The one thing that's really changed is that I am using less embalming fluid. And I said, well, why is that? I didn't know. He says, because, and we found out that this product they call Equal, this sweetener, this artificial sweetener that's supposedly safe, when it is ingested, the body converts it into formaldehyde.
Right.
And I'm going, you're kidding. And I believe it or not, I've been sharing that fact with people ever since. Especially if they are diet soda drinkers.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's the pink packet, the blue packet, or the pink packet. Each one is poisoning part of your body.
Right.
And the aspartame is actually a neurotoxin.
Well, there was also a disease called, I believe it's called phenylketonuria. that affects mostly infants, that this particular chemical makeup will trigger. And I don't know whether it leads to death or not. I can't recall, but I just remember the name of that. And I was just really kind of perplexed from that standpoint. But it's, again, there's so much out there that just it.
Yeah. And actually, people who drink Diet Cola gain weight faster than people who drink the sugar cola. Mm-hmm. But sugar is problematic no matter what form it's in. Sugar is sugar is sugar. I do use a little bit of sweetener. I use a little bit of maple syrup. I use a little bit of coconut sugar. And I use a little bit of honey. But there's still sugar. So little is the critical word there. Let me just mention sugar for a minute.
Sure.
Sugar does a lot of harm to your body. It is a toxin, and it is as addictive as cocaine and heroin. They did a test on rats where they gave them cocaine, and the rats were really happy eating the cocaine. And then they took it away, and they gave them the sugar. Ooh, and then they were really happy eating the sugar. Then they gave them both the sugar and the cocaine. Guess which one they chose?
They chose the sugar.
Mm-hmm. So it's highly addictive. It's doing it is definitely a cause of leaky gut, so it is a reason for inflammation. But beyond that, it actually messes around with your hunger hormones so that it turns them off and you don't know that you're not hungry anymore. Mm. And I used to eat like a huge Thanksgiving dinner and still be hungry. And I couldn't understand that. I just eaten an enormous dinner. How could I be hungry? Well, it was because my little hunger thermostat was completely whacked out because of the sugar I was eating. And when I detoxed off of sugar, it took me 3 weeks. It was like detoxing off of a drug. I've never obviously detoxed off of heroin or cocaine, but I was in bed like I had a severe flu. But when I came out the other end of it after 3 weeks, I wasn't hungry all the time. I don't crave sugar anymore. So it's easier for me to stay away from it. And my nose has become incredibly sensitive when I'm in the grocery store. If I'm in an aisle with a lot of sugar, wow, it's almost overwhelming to me. But it's not that I want to eat it. It's that I want to get out of there.
Mm.
So if you go through the stage of getting yourself off the sugar, which is really good for your body to do. Now, what I do use is something called stevia.
Yes.
Which I buy from Trader Joe because Trader Joe's is pure stevia. If you buy one of the brands from one of the big manufacturers, they're mucking around with it and putting dextrose and other sugars in it. So you want to make sure that the stevia that you're using is just stevia. But I use it in small amounts and it adds a little bit of sweet. So if I'm having like iced tea, it does the trick for me. I don't need the sugar and it doesn't have the downside.
There is also an aspect to alcohol, and again, we're talking not in excess, we're talking even in moderation, because alcohol even turns into sugar in the body.
Correct.
So, you know, it's like, all right, I understand, you know, this is one of the things that my doctor has told me, and I've actually changed doctors at least twice. Because I didn't care much for the message. Not the message that, you know, you should be doing this. It was, they missed certain things. For example, they took an EKG and they saw some irregularities and didn't catch it until the following year when I had another EKG and the gal that took the test took it to another cardiologist and they wanted to do some additional testing. And fortunately, it was an abnormality that was normal in my heart rate. Okay.
Right.
And that's the other aspect of all of this, too, that I want to touch upon before we wrap up here. I understand, and you do, too, that in the medical world, there are baselines of, 120 over 80 is a quote-unquote, a normal normal blood pressure, right? But who's to say that mine isn't normal at 135 over 85?
Yeah, it's possible.
Or 140 over 89.
Because we're all unique.
And I remember I don't know about you and your blood pressure. And by the way, I commend you on your willingness to discuss your health issues and completely
share because
people, I understand.
If they understand my story, they'll understand why it might help them.
Exactly. But my point is the HIPAA law. You can say these things about your health.
Right. Right.
You know, nobody can, and I do the same thing. I mean, I'm talking about my high blood pressure. I don't know about you, but my high end, the highest I ever reached, not that I was trying to make some kind of a record, was 184 over 120. And of course, my wife has been in my wife has been in cardiology for over 40 years, my second wife here. And when she saw that, she says, "You're in stroke zone," you know? And I, of course, I didn't feel any different. I didn't notice physiologically any difference between that and the day before. But I also know, too, that there are some things that we can do. And I want to ask you about this. You utilize this breathing method of Dr. Wells. What about meditation? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
All of those things are, well, let me tell you a little bit of Dr. Weil.
Sure.
He graduated from Harvard Medical School.
Yeah.
And he went there thinking he would never practice medicine. His mother was an herbalist. And his dream was to marry all of the different wellness thoughts together into one practice. So he wanted to do herbs. He wanted to do meditation. He wanted to do acupressure and acupuncture. And he wanted to add in Western medicine as part of the protocol. So it was a marriage of Chinese, North American, Indian, everything in one practice. And in the beginning, people thought he was a little peculiar, but after time, people were trying to find him wherever he was. He moved way out into the country in Arizona, and he would still get people on his doorstep at midnight because they wanted help from him, because he discovered that different modalities impacted health in different ways for his patients. And then he was given the opportunity to start the Integrative School of Medicine at one of the Phoenix universities, and he was launched as a new age thinker. Yes, meditation is very important. And yes, you can control some of this with your mind. Meditation is critical because it calms your mind. It's just like exercise isn't just to burn calories. Exercise is to release the stress and to add flexibility and to give you resistance. It's all of those things, and they all work together. And the body is very complicated. So all these, getting massages is a wonderful way to keep your body healthy, because it releases all of that stuff that's building up in you. Meditation allows you to calm your mind. And intent is critically important in terms of how your body is acting and what you're creating in your life. All these things work together, and you have to be open to all of them because they can impact your long-term wellness.
Long-term wellness is the key. I made the commitment back when my grandmother was, great-grandmother was 95. This was back in 95. I was doing an interview with relatives and her for her birthday and what have you. And I was telling people that I'm going to outlive her. And she was 95 at the time. And every year that went by and we would get together again, or I would tell other people about this, I'd say, yeah, I'm going to outlive my great-grandmother, but she's making it really hard. She lived to be 100 years old. So I still have a good 42 years minimum to go. And I'll be damned if I'm going to live out any of those years in a chair or hunched over.
I have a book to recommend to you. The exercise we do is called Body and Brain Yoga. Mm-hmm. It is a Tao form of exercise.
Yes.
And the master who created it is a man named Ilchi Li. And he just wrote a book that I intend to live to 120. And the critical word in that title is intend.
Mm.
But he talks about all the body and mind things that you can do to promote wellness.
Well, I'm...
He's a pretty amazing man.
I'm going to look that up because I know that the life expectancy, do you have these statistics as far as our life expectancy today, let's say, versus 50 or 100 years ago? Because there was a time when if you lived to be 50, man, were you lucky? But it seems like we're going back
when
there again.
They created Social Security. I think life expectancy was destroyed, which is why they started it, because they didn't think they were going to be paying people very long. Well, guess what? We've left longer. I don't have the statistics. I have read recently that for the first time, our children are not going to live as long as we are. And this is the first generation that that's true about. And that's because so many chronic illnesses like diabetes are starting at younger and younger ages, the autism thing. And a lot of that is because of chemicals in our environment. Diabetes isn't just a sugar issue. It's also a toxin issue. And it's when your organs are not all working together like a well-conducted symphony that people start to get diabetes. So, yeah, we're not going to live as long. And as we continue to poison ourselves and our environment and our products and our lives and our water, the life expectancy will start to drop down. Mm. It's really sad because it doesn't have to be this way.
No, it doesn't. And that's the amazing thing about it, is that it doesn't have to be this way. And yet the population collectively has chosen it to be this way? Has been manipulated?
They've chosen not to pay attention to it.
Chosen not to pay attention. Interesting.
I wasn't paying attention.
Ah. But you are now.
Until I got sick. Boy, when you get sick, you pay attention real quickly.
Yes, you
do. Because you don't want to be there.
Well, I know that there are also certain situations in our lives is affecting our health that sometimes we don't have control over. God forbid you should fall off a ladder, trip over this, those kinds of things. I know that there are at least, one or two organs in the body that, I don't know this for a fact, seems like people have problems with it, where you end up having to have, the gallbladder or the spleen or something like that, or they get ruptured in some fashion, or they expand to where they might rupture over. I don't know what the causes of those kinds of things are.
Yeah, there are absolutely times when you need a conventional doctor. They're
right.
Trained for that.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, they only get a half a day in medical school on nutrition.
Yeah.
So when they tell you got to lose weight, they don't have a clue how to tell you to do that because they have not been taught that.
Exactly.
And that's why autoimmune is so frustrating to them, because all of their tests don't show the markers. And yet 68 million women, especially women are the biggest group, are dealing with it. And they don't even want to believe that it's happening because they don't have double blind tests that prove that those people are suffering. And they are suffering. I'm in an autoimmune group on Facebook. Some of those people have even been sent to psychiatrists to find out why they think they have so much pain. Guess what? They have pain because there are things wrong in their body and they're being poisoned. So conventional medicine is great to a point, but he's not the who said of the greatest magnitude. And if you're not getting what you need to own your own health and find another way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one way, of course, is to look up It Feels Good to Feel Good, Learn to Eliminate Toxins, Reverse Inflammation, and Feel Great Again. And in this particular compendium, you'll be able to find out what is causing your pain and how to eliminate it, how to find a practitioner that will help you gain back your health, what's in your food, identify your sensitivities, and heal your leaky gut, which is a core here that you described. Identifying the toxins in your life and learn how to purge them, and the list goes on of so many different things that you can find out. Also, contact Cheryl Meyer, the author of this wonderful compendium. She has an email address on the back of the book as well. It is CherylMHealthMuse@gmail.com. The website is CherylMHealthMuse.com. So you can check out.
And that's Cheryl with a C.
That's Cheryl with a C, CHERYLM. And then health, HEALTH, Muse, MUSE.com. We encourage you to pick up a copy. First of all, Cheryl, I want to thank you for giving us so much time. There's so much more we could talk about. There's no question.
Can I add just one comment?
Please, go right ahead.
There is a workbook that I will send you for free if you buy the book, because people tell me it's overwhelming to get rid of all of these toxins. I took 5 years to get rid of all these toxins. So there's a workbook. You print the chapter of the workbook of the chapter that you're reading. You write down what you have found is toxic and what you're going to replace it with, and you put it in a binder. So when you run out of that item, you know what you're going to replace it with that will lower your toxic load. Each time you lower your toxic load, you're one step closer to health. So it's not overwhelming at all. It's very systematic, and it won't take up a whole lot of your time when you read the book. Yeah. So that's important. And the second thing is, I'm also a health coach. So if you need help doing this, I actually had a jewelry business. I went back to school because I want to help people with what I've learned. So I can do it by Skype. You can hire me, and I can help you go through all of this and help you with your chronic pain.
Yeah, it won't hurt, and it will definitely help. I know you're there in LA, but should you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. And again, we thank you so much for giving us so much time here on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I really am passionate to get this information out, and this was a terrific interview. Thank you.
I wish you'd get a little more excited.
Energy is no longer my issue.
And before we let you go, I have three final questions for you. And again, thank you. First question is, who is Cheryl Meyer?
Cheryl Meyer is somebody who used to not pay any attention to this until she got sick. And then suddenly I woke up and I started researching. I started owning my own health. And when I found out all the things I found out, I was determined I was going to share them, because it can change your life. It changed mine.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Mostly, I want to get people to become armies of one with me. Let's change this system by voting with our dollars. It's very important. And in the book, I tell you all the people that I follow. It's a great reference for lots of information. And there's even a group called the Institute for Responsible Industry that is fighting all of these toxins. There's lots of places you can go. There's a group for moms called Moms Across America who are fighting for the health of their children. I want to be a resource to help people have healthier bodies, healthier families, healthier communities, and healthier earth. And we can do it if we become an army of one. So that's my objective.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
I think this is it. I mean, for the last 20 years, I've owned my own jewelry business. I was in retail. I have been connected to jewelry for much of my career. I loved it. I was good at designing jewelry. And I still have a business where I'm selling people like Zales, but my employees are running that now. My purpose, I believe, is to become an antitoxin advocate and get the word out that we're literally being poisoned, and I can help you find wellness again. This is my purpose, and I'm obviously very energized to do this.
And again, thank you so much for giving us this time. And we do hope that we get you back on the program again to continue this conversation. It's extremely important because, as the phrase goes, if you have your health, you do have everything. And you're going to want to do stuff and live out your life's purpose. And we thank you for sharing that with us today.
And live to 120.
Live to 120, you bet.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We've been giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. As with all programs, obviously, the views expressed are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or advertisers of this radio station, but we certainly would encourage you to investigate the information, because it really is important. We want you to live a healthy life, and we want you to be informed as well. And with this program, we're trying to do that. Until next time, love Talal.